This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now. You are listening to the Identity Theft Warriors. I'm Kerry Lutz. This is part 22. And hey, whether you know it or not, September is National Preparedness Month. And boy, with all of the hacks going on and with everything else, you can't be too prepared for digital invasions. And you're familiar, no doubt, with Robert Siciliano, who's the CEO of IDTheftSecurity.com. And he's internationally acclaimed security expert, digital security expert. And Robert, we're thrilled to have you back on the show.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Hey, so National Preparedness Month here. There's so many vulnerabilities that you have digitally on your systems, whether it's business, home, wherever. And you suggest having effectively a digital disaster plan. What are the things you need to be thinking about when you create that plan?
Well, it's all about having a contingency plan in place, right? If you go to DHS.gov, you know, that's the Department of Homeland Security, in regards to being prepared, you know, it's all about looking at like the worst case scenario and then kind of backing up from there and saying, okay, so the worst case scenario happens, what systems need to be currently in place so that we can mitigate that. Our circumstances, meaning that as bad as it's going to be, how do we make it better during a time when, say, we have inclement weather and there's no electricity and or there's no running water? And so what do we need to do right now to make sure that we're going to be okay during that time frame, whether it's a day or a week or potentially even a month? And the same goes with your digital life as well. So you lose the power. And while you're in the middle of a document, as simplistic as this might sound, is there a way to save that document, you know, before the power goes out, right? So do you have immediate backups that occur with that particular software program, saving it either locally or externally and or in the cloud? So you always have to be thinking in terms of the worst case scenario and what and how you prepare for it.
Yeah, and it's not just your computers, it's all of your devices, because presumably you've got data on whether it's your smartphone, your tablet, your laptop computer, or your desktop, all of them, and your home network, whatever, all of them have data that you don't want to lose, that you don't want to be without.
Yeah, exactly. Your mobile phones, being prepared regarding the loss or theft of them, might mean having your device set up to consistently back up, say, an iCloud if you have an Android. Or iCloud if you have an iPhone. Android, there are other options. If it's lost, making sure that it's password protected so the criminal can't get access to it, or even, you know, the nice guy that finds it. Having even a little sticker on it that has your phone number or email address in case somebody nice does find it. You know, that's a form of a contingency plan. And then making sure that you can locate it if it's lost using GPS, wipe it if you can't find it. So you put all these systems in place thinking, you know, worst case scenario, what do I do in the event of?
Yeah, and I was just in a situation. I was out of the country with my girlfriend. Her bag got stolen, had everything in it, including her phone. Luckily, she did have the phone password protected. It was shut off at the time because she wasn't using it. And we were able to find out that they had turned it on. And we then called up Verizon and they were able to remotely wipe it and disable the phone so that the thieves couldn't use it. So, you know, good point that you need really to enable all of that remote software for your smartphone, whether it's tracking, whether it's remote wiping, because you can do all those things. And really good idea. I mean, if it was in the U.S., the police probably would have tracked down the phone and apprehended the thieves. But being that it was in South America, they didn't really have any great great desire to apprehend the thieves. They were more concerned about doing our paperwork so we could replace our passports.
Yeah, and you really can't even rely on law enforcement here in the States to track you on the phone. You know, they generally don't have that kind of bandwidth to be able to spend that kind of time, energy, and effort in our behalf. You know, they're pretty much maxed out at this point with, you know, actual crime in regards to violence and so forth. So, you know, all that being said, people who are consciously aware of their contingency plans are the ones that generally, you know, come out on top during the worst case type scenarios.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so important that you're aware of this, that the value of the data, everything else, and what would you do if you didn't have access to that data? Think about that, and then hopefully you'll be motivated to go out and really put this plan in motion.
Exactly. And, you know, it's all about being like a little conscious right now in regards to the fact that these things do happen. You know, when you think preparedness, think worst case scenario. Think Hurricane Katrina, right? Hurricane Katrina was absolutely awful. And I just got done speaking to a number of people from that area, meaning I did a presentation to a bunch of doctors and so forth. And, you know, I posed the question, you know, how many of you have a 55-gallon drum of water stored in your basement in the event that the power goes down and things go out and you need to survive on food stores and water for a period of time? And surprisingly, a very small percentage of these people from Louisiana, you know, where Hurricane Katrina occurred, had stores of food and water. So, you know, we are aware of these things. We know that these things happen. We generally should be aware of what our options are. But unfortunately, not everybody, you know, puts those systems in place or wants to think that these things are going to happen to them. And so when something bad does happen, they go, oh, yeah, I should have had that 55-gallon drum of water. And now I'm, you know, thirsty, or I'm dying because I'm, you know, undernourished. So yeah. It's really important to think about that stuff now and to do something about that now before something bad happens.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of preparation can go a long way towards avoiding a real disaster, which is not being able to get your data back, not having any food to eat. And even if it's not something major, I mean, these weather-related disasters or natural disasters happen all the time, all over the world. I don't think that any part of the country or any place in the world is really exempt from a potential natural disaster.
Yeah, natural or man-made, right? You know, yeah. Obviously one of the worst man-made disasters ever was 9/11. Mm-hmm. Awful and tragic. And you had entire corporations that, of course, lost their people. And and then, you know, others folded as a result of that, and some lost data forever. Certainly in a significant event like that, you know, you're likely to lose a business. But, you know, we look at these awful tragedies and we say, well, what could we do different in the future? You know, how would we change our behavior? How would we change our methodologies to reduce loss of life? You know, what type of contingency plans might we have in place? And, you know, there have been professionals that look at this stuff, you know, security professionals that look at this and they say, you know, these are the things that we can and should do in the future. You look at Katrina, these are the things we can and do in the future. And it's just a matter of you as an individual, as a small business, taking advantage of all of this research, you know, learning from others, either unfortunate incidences or mistakes in some cases, and doing something about it. You know, none of this is real rocket science. It's just, in the end, it's really just common sense stuff.
Yeah, and there's a certain inevitability to all this. I mean, go back to Hurricane Sandy. New York City had 9/11 occur pretty much isolated to lower Manhattan, but it did mess up power and data transmission lines all over the metropolitan area. Then you had Hurricane Sandy, which just shut the city down, shut down lower Manhattan again. The very same infrastructure that had been replaced after 9/11, the telephone switches and the electric substations were destroyed yet again. and it was deja vu all over. A lot of companies still got caught again without adequate disaster protection.
Yeah, which is amazing to me, you know, because it's just a matter of doing that research and making some, you know, sometimes small, sometimes significant investments in that contingency plan. But in the end, it could mean a difference between either life or death or whether or not your business stays in business or goes out of business, right?
Yeah, for sure. And just to use a remote backup service, obviously you want to make sure that that service is secure, can't be hacked easily, and you want to encrypt your backups. But just having all those backups off premises can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I actually have a decent system that I use. I have, just a small business, so I have my desktops, and they all back up data to a home server or a home office server, and that all of my devices' data is always in sync. All of my external drives are always in sync. So I have software that syncs up to different devices, different external drives, you know, terabytes and terabytes worth of data that's always in sync locally on external drives in a server. And then all of my devices are backed up into the cloud as well. So that means that I have a service that comes down, meaning that it's a software that I pay for annually that automatically syncs all of my local information with cloud. And all of the data in the cloud is, of course, encrypted. And if I wanted to, I could access that data on an app, a simple mobile phone app if I want, or from any one of my PCs, I can access that same backed up data. Anytime I delete a file, it deletes it in the cloud. Anytime I change the location of it in a folder, it changes the location in the cloud. And all that stuff in the end gives me a significant amount of peace of mind. And of course, you know, if a worst case scenario was to happen, I was to have, say, a fire in my home or office, then the data is backed up virtually in the cloud. And so there'd be very little downtime, if any.
Yeah. And then you want to make sure that you got the appropriate insurance coverages for all this. Some parts of the country, like Florida, that coverage is harder than others, but it's essential that you have that coverage because, business interruption, proper casualty coverage so that you can replace your equipment, right? I mean, all of this is key. Yeah. And it shouldn't be necessary to remind you about it, but you know, you can never remind people enough is my belief.
Well, that's the point of today's show. You know, it's to keep contingency plans, backup, preparedness in the mind of the consumer so that they make better decisions, informed decisions. So going forward, if something was to happen, you know, you'd be prepared.
Yeah. And ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure, as we all know. And is there anything else, if you were putting together your disaster recovery plan today, that's a must on there that you'd say, whatever you do, if you do nothing else, do this?
Well, certainly go to the Department of Homeland Security's website, DHS.gov, search National Preparedness Month, and right there, get all of the information necessary. This doesn't have to be overwhelming. It doesn't have to be a burden. Certainly, you know, stores of dry foods, canned foods, and, of course, water that is going to stay for an extended period of time. And then as far as your technology is concerned, having backups for your backup. That means having local backups, having cloud backups. And another thing, is having external power. Solar power is a really good idea. There are portable solar power panels that you could plug most of your devices into, laptops, mobile phones, that will keep them good and charged. So you could spend $100 on a really good solar power panel that is completely portable. And then on top of all that, it's a good idea to have currency. It's a good idea to have cash. Having, some say anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000 kicking around. If you have at least $1,000, right? And then you do that in relatively small bills. Like, it's nice to have hundreds, right? But if the grid goes down for any period of time and you need a loaf of bread and all you have is hundreds, you're paying $100 for a loaf of bread. So you want to have at a minimum, you know, 10s, 20s, and maybe even consider 5s and 1s, all in a safe, and don't tell anybody that you have any stores of cash.
Yeah. Don't tell anybody that you have the safe either. Key to having a safe is to not tell anybody about it, right?
Yeah, they call that security through obscurity.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And yeah, a lot of this is common sense, but common sense is often in short supply in this day and age, I'm afraid. Hey, Robert, the people want to find out more about you and connect with you on the internet. Was the best place?
Sure. IDTheftSecurity.com. Again, that's IDTheftSecurity.com. And you can also find me the same place, RobertSiciliano.com.
All right. And as always, you will find a link to Robert's site in our site and on Financial Survival Network and on the Identity Theft Warriors. And Robert, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on with us again.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.